Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. With the election of Donald Trump, there have been plenty of newsworthy stories to talk about. His cabinet picks, accusations of Russians influencing the election, President Obama's final acts as president. But today I want us to examine an overarching theme that has been on my mind through these events. Liberal Democrats are horrified, angered over a conservative government takeover. Just like conservative Republicans were horrified, dismayed, and angered over the liberal takeover 8 years ago. The political social battle today can be described as a conflict over who are the bad guys and who are the good guys. Liberal Democrats think conservative Republicans are evil, and conservative Republicans think that liberal Democrats are evil. And rather than taking this for granted, stop and think about how remarkable this is. We live in a world where half the people think the other half is wrong. We live in a world where there's a moral conflict over who are the bad people and who are the good people. For example, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a liberal think tank and political action group that promotes abortion, homosexual rights. They have filed suits to take down monuments of the Ten Commandments across America. And the Southern Poverty Law Center calls Christian groups that promote biblical morality hate groups, such as Focus on the Family's Family Research Council, the nicest, most morally upright people you ever want to meet. So how can the people of the Southern Poverty Law Center have such a different moral compass that they call the Christians the evil haters in this world? The big moral question of our day, and the one you need to decide, is who are the bad guys and who are the good guys? Who is in the light and who's in the darkness? And think about how much effort is being put forth by the media, educators, philosophers, writers, religionists, movie makers, to convince the public that one side or the other is evil. We live in a world that has two moral worldviews in conflict. Take, for example, the Star Wars series. Like almost all movies, it's based on the premise of good guys versus bad guys. The evil empire wants to take over the universe, but the rebels want to live independent. Now, of course, movies create an over-the-top caricature of evil so that the audience will root for the right side. The empire is made to look evil. But if you were to interview your average stormtrooper, he would probably describe the empire as the good cause and the rebel alliance as a bunch of terrorists who want to return us to the dark ages. After all, an empire would be a good thing. There would be more trade, less war, less unfair competition. Oh, the empire could create an economic level playing field. By getting factions together, the empire could create great social programs in education, in healthcare, in retirement, in employment. And of course, billions of people in the Star Wars universe would be on the side of the empire. So what is wrong with these people who are for the Rebel Alliance? Why don't they like or trust big government? Maybe they're the problem. They're the cause of the war. I mean, after all, if it wasn't for these rebels, the empire would work perfectly. The Star Wars saga was popular in 20th century America because Americans generally assumed independence is a good thing and big government tyranny is a bad thing. But think about this. If the Star Wars movies were shown in ancient Rome or Stalinist Russia, or Hitler's Germany, the Empire would be applauded as the good guys of the story. For them, the Empire is not about power for the elites. The Empire is trying to create order out of chaos, trying to foster social justice, trying to stop the enemies of human achievement. You see, in the real world, discerning who is right and who is wrong is not so easy. And the battle between Satan and God can be very deceptive. Satan claims to be the Good Rebel Alliance, promoting human freedom. And Satan claims that the kingdom of Christ is the evil empire. While God's people say that Satan's kingdom is the evil empire, and the kingdom of Christ is the rebel alliance that wants personal accountability to God and to God alone, not to man. Now, before I get into some specific details regarding the moral battles of our day, I need to begin with a few provisos. First, consider the fact that there are plenty of people who approach the culture war by saying that the conflict is unnecessary, that the conflict itself is the problem rather than the issues over which the conflict is waged. These are the people who believe conflict in itself is the evil. And the solution is that we all need to put aside our differences and just get along. Now, how do we do that? Just emphasize that which we all agree on. And politicians are great at using this approach because they're afraid of offending and losing voters. So they will use sloganeering such as, "We're all Americans. We all want good things for our families. Let's not consider these moral arguments at all. Just vote for me." But we should be astute enough to understand what these people try to do by their posturing. Soft sell or diminish, marginalize the importance of the moral conflict in order to get popular support for themselves. Now, of course, there are some battles that are unnecessary. But overall, I think you would agree that the let's just all get along approach is at best naivety, at worst a toleration of evil. Like Abraham Lincoln said about Stephen Douglas's support for popular sovereignty, it's a policy of indifference toward good and evil. Big government versus limited government is not a petty argument. It is the difference between national bankruptcy, tyranny, versus life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. Pro-life versus pro-choice is not insignificant. We're talking about human life. There is a moral good and a moral evil in the universe. It's important, and it's decided by an omniscient, all-powerful creator God. This brings me to my second proviso. Be aware of how secularists try to explain away the culture war. Secular atheists, who do not believe in a God or a moral lawgiver, have a hard time explaining today's cultural war in terms of good guys and bad guys. Because in a materialistic universe, there is no good or evil. Therefore, the secular sociologist must explain the culture war in terms of environmental differences or social needs. People may think it's about morality, but it's actually about evolutionary natural selection or survival. They will say that conservatives simply hold to the traditional family model as a holdover from ancient agricultural societies, where the family unit was necessary for survival. But now we're past all that. And conservatives may not be morally evil, but they're certainly backward. But the Christian answer to that is that man is a moral creature. And the moral battles we fight cannot be fully explained by evolution or economic need. And in practice, Everyone believes in a moral universe. When the liberals are out there protesting the election of Donald Trump, they're borrowing moral certitude from Christianity. They're not out there with logical arguments saying conservative values are evolutionary mistakes or wrong economic incentives. Liberals are claiming that conservatives and their positions are morally evil. Which is odd, because for something to be morally evil, there has to be a moral lawgiver. Third proviso. The culture war is over two worldviews in conflict. But few, if any, want to discuss, examine, or explain what is at the root of this conflict. This conflict where each group calls the other group evil. It's almost a social taboo to address people's core beliefs when addressing social issues. It's the elephant in the room that nobody is supposed to talk about. So rather than bringing up God, people would rather talk superficially about their positions. Nobody says, "I support abortion because I don't believe there's a God, or because I don't believe babies have the right to live." They instead drown out the real issue by carping about personal freedom. And I suspect that the reason for the world avoiding any deep discussion is because any serious examination would convict the soul. Men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. John 3:19. Satan wants people to have an unexamined life. And in this regard, let me remind Christians that exposing what is behind the culture war is crucial to our witness. Rather than getting into arguments about peripheral issues, lay the axe to the root of the tree. Ask the unbeliever about his core beliefs. Ask him about his source of authority. Expose what Satan does not want exposed. Uncover the deception. My final proviso is this. In this whole conflict between who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in the world, there are really only two positions. It's not as if there are 5, 10, 15 worldviews in conflict. Every issue comes down to whether man is the authority or God is the authority. Whether man is God or God is God. Whether God is or God isn't. Either righteousness is the Ten Commandments, or righteousness is simply what pleases people. Every world conflict can be boiled down to just two worldviews: Christ or Antichrist. Now let me briefly describe the conflict in practice. Conservative Republicans believe that the Democrats are the evil baby killers. But on the other hand, the liberal Democrats believe the Republicans are evil because they will not give a woman the right to kill her baby in her womb. Because for the Democrats, personal freedom comes above the child's right to life. And so the Democrats actually fully believe they are morally superior, because they believe in the principles of freedom espoused in the sexual revolution. You see, even the baby killers believe that they're the good guys. Conservatives believe that there are laws of nature and nature's God, so that a man ought to marry a woman and a woman a man. But the liberals, in promoting same-sex marriage and gender choice, believe that they're crusaders for a better, superior, new morality, because they believe it's cruel to base morality on a religious deity. Morality should be based on what makes people feel happy and fulfilled. So again, they see themselves as the good guys in the story and the conservatives as the evil antagonists, the haters of the human race. Economically, there's the same conflict over what's right. Conservative Republicans believe Democrats violate God's economic laws for work and responsibility. But liberal Democrats don't like that accountability. They don't believe it's necessary. Now, liberals, on the other hand, will claim conservatives are the bad guys, that they're the uncharitable Ebenezer Scrooges of the world. And of course, there are plenty of Pharisees in the Republican Party. Christians are not claiming the Republican Party is God's party. We recognize that at the root of some Republican policies is greed, and at the root of some liberal policies is hatred toward accountability. And where the law of God is violated, there is evil, which evil men will call good. Well, moving on, liberals call conservatives evil for wanting limited government. Conservatives call liberals evil for wanting big nanny state government. Liberals call conservatives evil for not going along with racial identity politics. Conservatives call liberals evil for being racist. Liberals call conservatives evil for not opening the borders to everyone. Conservatives call liberals the party of lawlessness for wanting to break down national boundaries. You see in all this the economic, social, moral conflict between two opposing worldviews. And if you haven't noticed, this is what the Bible is all about. Right from the beginning, describing and identifying this conflict. The conflict between God and Satan, Cain and Abel, Noah and the pre-flood world, Abraham versus Nimrod, the idol-worshipping Jews versus the monotheistic Jews. And then throughout the scriptures, line by line, verse by verse, the Bible explains who is right and who is wrong. And although the scriptures were written hundreds, thousands of years ago, the conflict is still the same. Elijah on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18:21. He says to the people, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." Either Baal is the true God and his religion of sexual freedom, homosexuality, abortion, or Jehovah is the true God and his religion of the Ten Commandments. Nothing has changed. We're still in a truth war. Here's some texts that show the moral confusion between what is good and what is evil. Micah chapter 3, verse 2. "You who hate the good and love the evil." Or Isaiah 5:20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Notice the contrast. The people call the evil of their day, under King Ahaz, righteousness. And they called the righteous positions of the prophets evil. Why? Because the righteousness of Jehovah God thwarted their fleshly desires. It constrained their freedom. It made them feel guilty. So of course, those with a fallen nature will call good evil and evil good. As it says in Proverbs 17:15, "They will justify the wicked and condemn the righteous." Or Amos chapter 5, verse 7, "They will turn justice into wormwood and cast righteousness down to the earth." And Isaiah 29:21, "They will defraud the one who is in the right with meaningless arguments." They will say you can kill your child because women have a right to privacy in the Fourth Amendment. Or that men can marry men because of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. They will defraud the one who is in the right with meaningless arguments. When you believe evil is good, you will find a justification for it under every rock. And the good will become your mortal foe. Amos chapter 5, verse 10. "They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks with integrity. Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. And so today we have a culture war in this world between the godly and the ungodly. But not just a war. What I've tried to emphasize today is that it's a war like any other war, with each side believing it's on God's side. Well, secular liberals may not believe that they're on God's side with a capital G, but they believe they're on God's side with a small g, the God of history, the God of science, the God of logic, the God of human evolution. So here's a question. How do we know whether or not we're on God's side? Well, God has given us his word through his prophets so that we might know what is true righteousness. But I can already hear the argument. What if the Bible was just made up by evil religionists? Or even worse, what if Jehovah God turns out to be the evil one? Maybe God is really Satan and Satan is really God. And that's probably very close to the claims of Satan. Because Satan is claiming that the Almighty Creator God is an unjust bully. His rules are arbitrary. His ways are not right. He's unfair. He's oppressive. And with that claim, a third of the angels rebelled with him. And he entered into the world of men and convinced Adam and Eve that God was holding back from them the tree of knowledge. So how do we know that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning, as Jesus said in John chapter 8? And that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he is the one who has come to give life and life more abundantly. Well, I could make an appeal to the wisdom of Scripture, to the person and work of Jesus Christ, to the universal sinfulness of men. There are all sorts of proofs for the truthfulness of God. But ultimately, it takes a moral decision of the heart that defies human explanation. You have to be one of his sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they come." When those with a heart for God hear the truth of God, they recognize it as the voice of their Father. They feel the weight of their sin and want the forgiveness and righteousness of God. Now, sadly, many others will hear the message of God and either consciously or unconsciously decide for Satan. I don't have an explanation for their choice. All I know is that Jesus said, "The way is broad that leads to destruction, and many there be that go that way. But there are few who choose for God." And that's why God calls us to continue to give out the message of the gospel, even in radio programs like this one. And my prayer for you is that you will decide for God and believe that God and his people are the good guys in the story of this world. That you would be like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or download it. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to more clearly communicate what is behind the culture war in America today. Lead us to the people you are calling out of darkness into the light. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.